Good, good, good. I feel a little more comfortable now. I'm talking to the right people because I raised both my hands. Okay. Life has its share of pressures. From the cradle to the grave, the twists and turns, ups and downs, level fields and rugged fields, a broad pathway and narrow pathway. There are some certainties, and God knows there are a lot of uncertainties. How many people know exactly what's going to happen for the next 7 days? Every many of those 7 days. How many people know exactly what's going to happen for the next 24 hours? Every many of those 24 hours. You do not know. I don't know either. So life has its pressures, and sometimes it comes from different angles at different times. That's part of life. There'll be pressure points. The issue is not that we're going to deal with pressure. The issue is how we're going to deal with it. Is it going to break us or is it going to build us? God has something to say as he prepares his people to go out and be successful this week and in the weeks beyond. We put the pressures in three categories. Now, all kinds of pressures. I just put them in three categories: emotional pressure, financial pressure, and today we want to close with medical pressure. If you ever had an ache in your body before, just say, Emotional pressure when your nerve get all wrecked and your attitude's all messed up, and financial pressure when you feel a pinch. Your pocketbook or the checkbook, when the money's acting funny and bills seem to be coming due more than paychecks are coming by. All kinds of pressure. There's a third kind of pressure. I call it medical pressure, for lack of a better terminology, but you stay with me. I'll try to explain it for the next 10 minutes. The text that I want you to write down, Job chapter 2, verses 3 to 10. Job chapter 2, verses 3 to 10. I want you to write it down. You don't have to go there. I will tell you that story. Job 2, 3 to 10. I want you to write down another scripture. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. And then the last text is the series text, John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Now, I want you to find that one because I want us to read it together, that one verse. You will read from your Bible, I'll read from mine. Different translation, doesn't matter. It's the same God trying to say something to his people. John 16, verses 33. You ready? John 16. Let's read it together. I have told you these things so that in you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus is talking to you. I want to talk for a bit about medical pressure. Let us pray. Father, we pray that the written word might become the spoken word so that it will be the living word. God, move by your spirit and do something. Do it now. Do something relevant and do it now. Do something impactful and do it now. In Jesus' name, we return to you all of the glory. Amen. Medical pressure. When I was a kid, I used to play soccer. That was about the only game in my little town. And so that was our game. But I didn't have all of the resources that my kids will have today. I didn't have the cleats. I didn't have the shin guard. But I played anyway. So on this particular day, we weren't on the field or anything. We were just like in the backyard, grandma's backyard. And we were playing. I didn't have any shoes on. I was playing with bare feet. But that wasn't uncommon. In my little town, growing, you know, you have your flip-flops on, and then somebody roll a soccer ball around. You just, man, you just, you know, get there and start do your thing. So I just got there and started doing my thing. And it got intense, you know, because, you know, some of us were just very competitive. Even just a little, you know, not called for kind of in grandma's backyard, didn't make a difference. And we were playing, man, I was trying to kick. And I kicked something. I found out later what it was. It's a little old piece of rusted zinc stuck in the ground. And it literally sliced my big toe. A lot of pain for a little 10-year-old. But when my grandma came out, I was wailing so bad, she couldn't figure out for a minute what was going on. And when she came to take a look at it, I was in so much pain, I thought that she just got close enough to look at it, she was going to touch my toe. And at that point, nobody was going to touch my toe. The zinc had touched the toe and messed it up already. And I was in so much pain, and I was just frantic and wailing and screaming. Well, got past that initial trauma, and it got me to the hospital. You know, grandma did what grandma do, apply some pressure, stop the bleeding, wrap the thing, you know, and got me to the hospital. Got to the hospital. It's time for the doctor or the whoever were attending me to come and treat the thing. And that was war. I didn't want them to touch it. I didn't want them to take the stuff grandma put. I mean, it was just crazy. Why? Why was I behaving that way? Because I was in so much pain, and all I could think about is these people were just going to inflict more pain on my young body, and I could not tolerate it. Folks, it gets personal. Probably not more personal than that. When the pains of life hits home in your body. I find as a pastor that it's easier to say to somebody who's in pain or who's laying in a hospital bed or who's at home, I'll pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm having terrible headaches today. And I say, I'll pray for you. I find that it's so much easier to say to people, I'll pray for you, than it is when the pain is right here. When it's you who's dealing with the aches and the pain. When it's you who's waiting, sitting on edges waiting for the doctor's report to see what's going to happen from the test that they ran. It's a little different when it's personal. The text that you didn't read from Job tells a story about pain. Let me see how I summarize the story. The devil was hanging out in God's domain. How many people here know that the devil will hang out where God's people are? The devil will come to church to mess with God's people. So the devil's hanging out in God's domain. And God said to him, have you seen my servant Job? The devil says, I'm like, Job, so what? And I see a whole lot of people. So where he's a righteous man. He's an upright deacon. He's a faithful steward. He served the church well. He's in the small groups. He gives to the church. God was bragging on Job. Folks, it's a good place to be spiritually when God can brag on you. See my servants at Asbury. They're imperfect, but they're holding it down. You know, God was bragging on Job. The devil said, oh, yeah? The devil said, I tell you what, he's just shouting and praising, jumping up and down because his car drives nicely. His horses are well fed. His chariots move cool. But if you take those things from him, I bet you his attitude's going to change. God said, well, let's try it. Houses got burned and fields got ruined and cattle got killed and Job was still serving God. He said, well, I tell you what. You know what? I'm going to mess with his children. The word comes. You lost your kids. All of them. He's devastated. Anybody here who ever lost a child, you know what that is? You lose some of you. You never get it back. Devastated. But Job was still serving God. And then the devil threw his last trump card. He said, I'll tell you what, how about if you allow me to bring as close to home as possible, let me inflict some pain on his body. I'll bet you his attitude's going to change then. And so in the text, Job was inflicted with sores and all kinds of physical challenges. He's in a lot of pain. So much pain, his wife comes to him and says, what's up? You've been faithful to the church. You serve on every team. You're there all the time. You give your money. And look what's happening to you. Curse God and die. Job said, you're talking like a crazy woman. Listen, the closer you get to God, the bigger you become on the devil's radar screen, the more serious you are about your relationship with God, the more determined the enemy is going to get to take you out. I want to suggest to somebody that some of the challenges we have with our kids is because some of you are doing the right thing. No, I know that didn't sound right. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. This is true. Listen to it. Some of the stuff that's going on with our children is because there are some righteous parents who are doing the right thing. So if in your maturity the enemy cannot cut you down, he will go past you and go to your children. So in their immaturity and their lack of spiritual growth and their inexperience, he will get to you through them. That's what he did with Job. If you read the beginning of the book of Job, the Bible says he was a righteous man who prayed for his children daily. So he's ill. City hospital can't help him. Jefferson Memorial can't do it. Winchester can't help him. Johns Hopkins can't do anything. And so he's in a tremendous amount of pain. And Job is still holding on to his faith. Jesus warned us, brothers and sisters, about this kind of pressure. He said, in this life, you and I will have trouble. So take heart, though. I have prepared you for it. Let me give you a reread. In this life, some things are going to go wrong sometime. In this life, folks are going to trip with you sometime. In this life, you're going to have some aches, some pains, some headaches, some heartaches. In this life, stuff are going to get messed up every now and then. However, I am the God who fixes things. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Romans 5, verse 3, said, not only so, he said, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Paul could talk like that because he had integrity. He had suffered. Job suffered too. He said, we can rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Folks, let me talk to you about how to live well under medical pressure. There's some things we need to pay attention to. Suffering comes sometimes in a variety of forms. But when it comes, remember these things. First, suffering produces perseverance. You know what perseverance means? It's staying power. You never seen a boxing match? Every now and then, you know, one opponent will give a good jab. But as long as you don't get knocked down and stay down for three counts, one, two, and three, guess what? You're still in it. You're still in it. You're still in it. And so even though it might be, you know, bam, bam, points here, points there, the race is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong, but he endures to the end. So you can be weak coming to that last round. And if you get one strategic hit and your opponent fall and the ref goes one and two and three, guess what? They're out. So it doesn't matter how much you got banged up. The fact is, you're the winner. Your face might be bruised, but your hands will be raised. And I want you to know that in life sometimes, we will get banged up. We will be bruised up. But at the end of the day, God is going to raise your hand because Jesus has given you staying power and you are able to persevere. Amen. Suffering produces staying power. The people of God cannot be quitters just because troubles come, just because the body is aching. In fact, Job, who said that to his wife later on, Job says, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. What are you saying, Job? I'm saying I have staying power. I'm not turning my back on God. You know, when you get ill, illness can induce loneliness. You feel like the world has forgotten about you, even though two people came to visit you at the hospital that day. Because physical ailment has a way of just messing up your whole psyche. Because it frustrates you because first, you're not able to do the things you were used to doing or the things you're able to do or the things you want to do. Watch this. When you are in that place, God does not want your spirit, watch this, to quit. He wants your spirit to have staying power. In other words, he wants you to crave for communion with him even though you're hurting. That's why your smile, my smile, can only be on the days when we're feeling great. I might not be feeling great, but I still should be able to smile. That's how I build up perseverance and staying power. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance shapes and strengthens character. Second thing I want to tell you, it shapes and it strengthens character. You know, I was at a graduation this past week. And I heard the speaker give an awesome quote. He said, watch your thoughts. He said, because they become your words. Watch your words. Because they become your action. And then he went on to say, he said, watch your actions. Because they become your character. Watch your actions because they become your character. And he said, watch your character because it becomes who you are. So let me ask you this question. How well do you do when you are medically challenged? How well do you do when you get up in the morning and you go, ouch? How well do you do when you go to the doctor says, you know, I'm not sure. How well do you do? What happens to your godly character? Do you do like Hezekiah? Go to God and say, God, you know, I've been faithful. I've served you. I've done what you want and plead. for healing? Or do you say, well, you know, when I get myself together, God, I'll come back and hang out with you. You know, folks who do that, when the going gets tough and the tough gets going, they distance themselves from the one place where they can find wholeness and healing and help. Listen, all of the brokenness in the world, all of the ill man in the world ought to drag himself into the house of God. All of us need to come to the place where the healer is. Because if the world could offer healing, then we all will be healed and whole. But the world offer illness and sickness and struggles and stresses. God offers healing. So healing comes from the helm of Jesus. God's people are to find a way to the place of God. Perseverance shapes and strengthens your character. In other words, if you can stay the course, even when things are difficult, that's how you build Christian character. Because you trust in Christ to handle for you what you're not able to handle yourself. What else, Paul? He says character hangs on to hope. See, as we build character, we hang on to hope. If I had an opportunity, if you had an opportunity to interview everybody who took their own life, you would probably find out, if you did a nice little theological scouting, you will find that they probably lost hope before they took themselves out. Nobody who takes their own life has hope. You lose it in that moment. That's why you're taking your own life. You have already concluded that whatever it is that's pressing on you, the situation is hopeless. So ain't no point in me being here another minute. Folks, we as the people of God have access to an abundance of hope in Christ Jesus, who is our helper. We have hope because God, Jesus said, I'm going, I'll send you the Paracletos. The Paracletos translate into a helper. If you know you always have help, you have hope. That means somehow tomorrow can be better than yesterday. Sometimes you can't figure it out, but you say to yourself, you convince your spirit that the Lord will make a way somehow. That's hope. And character, the Christian character, holds on to hope. I'm never going to let go of his hand. Why? Because he's done so much for me. I got an experience with him. I'm holding on to hope. And as long as you have hope, you have a chance. Folks, when we stop hoping, we have effectively stopped living. You stop hoping, you stop living. You keep hoping, there's always a chance that God's grace might permeate your challenges and bring about the change that you're praying for. Hope brings peace. Hope brings peace. If I am hopeful, I will be peaceful. I will press, I will pray, I will push, but I will know that when I've done my best, then God can do the rest. Amen. I'll do my part, and I'll trust God to do his. So hope brings peace. You know, I told a story this morning about the challenge we had with our mother in her last days. You know, my mom had cancer. And for 13 and a half years, she kept that a good secret and never told most of her family. Like, I didn't know. She got up every morning, just went to work. She would travel for treatments. And I didn't know. I just knew she was gone somewhere. But after 13 and a half years of fighting and getting up and smiling every day and working, just going about business normally, it started to take a toll. And I'll never forget, we made a pact. The siblings, we said every day we would go by the hospital to see her before we went home. So that was the pact. So I was in college then, my last year of college. I would hang out in the student center because as the ailment took its toll, she lost weight, she deteriorated. You know, in Liberia, you know, we don't have hospice care, so we don't have all the facilities we have here. So she wasn't doing as well as somebody would do here. She wasn't made comfortable, giving all the treatment, all the painkillers. So it was tough. It was hard to open the door every evening and walk in the room. It's hard to look at somebody who you love and know that you could do nothing. And so I would hang out in the student center and play pool and play cards and do everything until 10 o'clock. The dude would say, man, get out. We close it. And I would leave the campus and go to the hospital because we agreed that every day we're going to go and see her. And I'll never forget. I'll go in there. She would usually be turned to the wall. And as soon as the door opened, she would struggle to turn over. But when she did and looked my way, she would have a smile. And then she would say, what are you doing here? I said, I can't see you. It's late in the night. Aren't you going to school tomorrow? Yeah. But I had to come see you. I'll be all right. Go home, get some rest. And I'll stay for a little while. And I'll walk out and I'll think, how can anybody do that? You know, at least it would be in order if she complained a little. I'm hurting today. All these sores and I can't eat anymore. I mean, it would have been in place because it would all have been a truthful narration. But folks, long after she went and I grew in my faith, I understood that she was a hopeful person, so she remained a peaceful person. You see, when you have the peace of God, Paul said it surpasses understanding. You can smile when people expect you to frown. So I understood the source of the strength that caused us to do that. There's nothing that positions you better to fight against the enemy than relying on the peace of God and not allowing the circumstances to cause you to just fall apart. Paul says God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because when I'm weak, then he has an opportunity to show his strength. She had peace. Peace, my friends, produces power. Peace produces power. One last thing my mom said, she said, you know, when I go to heaven for my celebration, I want you to dress me up in my nightgown. And we have a nightcap on. So we did that. Put a nightgown, nightcap, took a picture. And I look at the picture, and she looked so peaceful. She looked like just another night. She was just sleeping. Except that this time, that peaceful disposition had resurrection power. How do you know that, preacher? Because scripture says those who die in the Lord, though they were dead, yet shall they live. So with all of her medical challenges, with all of the duration of the hardship and the difficulty, I tried to envision her transportation as God-induced relocation from the hospital to heaven. She was worn out. Her body was run down. And things didn't look the way it used to look. But I got a feeling when she got up there, it was a little different. You see, power not only transports you to a safe place, but power restores you so that you get back what you had plus more. And that's what God wants to do to his people. He wants to use you and me to show off to the world that though we were lost, yet we're now found. Once we were blind, now we can see. So if you've been through, when you get through, God wants you to use that testimony to tell somebody else about the power that pulled you through. Peace produces power. Power to think right. Power to talk right. Power to live right. Power to do right. So that all of this stuff that's coming against us will never be enough to overrun us, to overtake us. The same Paul who wrote about this says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the power to live well, even when things are not going well. So the next time the enemy comes walking down your lane, knocking on your door, hanging out in your driveway, in your little apartment, you let him know that you will live well even when things are not going well, because you have the peace that surpasses understanding. Somebody thank God for that peaceful disposition. The peace that surpasses understanding. Stand as you're able. Stand as you're able. Folks, today, I want to remind you that God has everything we need for the rest of our journey. So take advantage of it. Right here, God is listening. He wants to know what you have to say. Somebody might say, God, I just want to say yes to your will, yes to your way. Somebody might say, God, I just need healing for my body. I need healing for my loved one. Somebody might say, I just want to say yes to service in your church. Maybe I just want to sign up today and be a part of this branch of life. Somebody today wants to say yes to God for something. John's going to begin to play. I invite you to sing. And if you want to say yes to God for anything, you can just slip your hand up. You want to say yes to God for anything. I don't know what it is, but you raise your hand, God does. And God is going to begin to move by his spirit and minister to his people. Will be yes. Say, I'll say yes. To your will. I'll say yes. I'll trust you.
I will trust you and obey.
When your spirit
speaks to me.
With my whole heart.
Then my answer.
Will be yes.
Lord, yes.
Sing it one more time. Everybody, I'll say yes.
I'll say yes.
To your will. I'll say yes. I'll trust you, God.
I will trust you and obey.
When your spirit
speaks to me.
With my whole heart.
Then my answer.
Will be yes. Father, you saw the hands raised. Father, you know the hearts of your people. God, you know exactly our station in life. You know what challenges us. You know what changes us. God, you know everything. So we stand in the gap, God, and we plead with you to begin to move by your spirit and minister to your people. Whatever the need is today, God, I pray that you'll meet that need according to your riches in glory. God, I come against any trick of the devil. I bind it, I reject it, and I refuse it. And I call all those things good in the life of your people. May this week be a powerful and peaceful week for your people. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Keep singing that song while the acolytes come. Yes.